All right, you're back in the DFSR. It's an NFL podcast. It's Tuesday, October 30th. I'm all thrown off because it's not Halloween yet. I'm Doug Norrie, that is.
James Davis. So you're looking so forward to Halloween right now that until it is Halloween and Halloween's just passed, you're looking at it in the rearview mirror, you're just going to be distracted when it comes to dates?
No. I'm thrown off because you mentioned your kids were going trick-or-treating tonight, and then we were complaining that it's not Halloween, and then for some reason when I started saying the date, I couldn't remember if today was Halloween. No, I could care less.
You just love Halloween, dude. It's fine. Halloween is a good holiday. There's no doubt.
You know me, buddy. Love to dress up. Love to just get out there.
Just eat fistfuls of candy.
Exactly. Walking around the neighborhood with your kids.
Is your wife doing the sexy nurse outfit again? That's been a staple for
year 15 in a row. Yeah, there you go. Okay. DFSR.com/deals will get you.
The maternity sexy nurse outfit was a real treat. Like, was that 2 years ago? That was a good one. But go ahead.
It's a good start. All right. DFSR.com/deals is going to get you started. If we haven't built up enough trust for our NFL system after this opening conversation, just know that we do feel like we're one of the best in the business. DFSR.com/deals gets you optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings. NBA, NFL, it's all covered in the one subscription package, premium chat, premium content, all good to go. So go check that out, free for 7 days. And then just $24.95 a month after that. Oh, buddy, what a week. And not in the kind of good way. this was the kind of NFL. I've been thinking this leading up to this week, or I've been kind of thinking this each week, is that because as our NFL system has been very good this season, I have had the sense that we've been also in NFL. You need to be good in terms of opportunity and projections and all that stuff, and you also just need to be a little bit lucky as well. I think that the sample size of the NFL season and how short it is, things can take some time to just by the end of the season. Maybe you have a good idea. Maybe that's not even enough time. And I've had the feeling like we've been very good, and we've had a couple things go our way as the season goes on. And this week, it really felt like it just came off the track a little bit. Like, I felt the opportunities were pretty much there. And if it could go wrong, it did go wrong.
Well, and the telling thing on FanDuel, at least, was, you know, we wind up, I think it was like 6 points behind the cash line. So nothing otherworldly. And the amount of just like little sneaky run bad that happened was annoying. But does anyone want to hear us complain about how unlucky we are? Let's talk about a couple key places, because this is actually probably relevant to other people too. So
mostly what I was using as a lead in to say, like, let's talk about some of the places where I felt like the decision making was good and the results were bad. But I think you and I are going to start. You can go ahead, because I think we're going to probably start at the same place here.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'll start with James Winston. I don't really know what happened here, to be totally honest with you. Like, I mean, we always knew that Winston was going to have, you know, completion percentage issues in the past. Except for this season, none of that was happening at all. The guy was on a 70% completion rate coming into this game, one of the highest totals. We wind up running him out there, and of course, the wheels come off completely. But I want to help people out there. You know, so whether you're a DFSR customer or you're a customer of someplace else, when a guy is a 40% play in cash games, nobody who played him was an idiot for playing him, in my opinion. The reason for that is several independent sources, and probably people driving the money, aka people putting in tons of money, were probably on a guy. And so maybe there were like a few select people out there who were like, nah, I'm just off Jameis this week. But by and large, if you didn't play Jameis, it was probably just because the money worked for you to play somebody else. You know what I mean? But this is like one of the biggest fundamental misunderstandings I see in our chat, where they're like, why do we hate... who's a good example of a chalk? Why do we hate Joe Mixon? Well, we don't hate Joe Mixon at all, actually. The system really likes Joe Mixon. He's been in lineups, but just at his price point, it likes Kareem Hunt more. You only have to pay $300 more, and you're going to play James Conner, who is obviously great too. So it's not that it hates it. It's just that the money doesn't work out. And given that you can only play a couple guys, you know, we just didn't wind up with him in our final cash game lineups. And so relating back to Winston, I feel like if he was a 2% start and totally sucked, that's when you look in the mirror and you're like, okay, why was I the only person on planet Earth who thought this guy was going to be good? And then he wound up sucking. That's a decent jumping off point. And after that, I think if you just look at the opportunity in this game, I mean, the guy threw 35 passes and his team wound up scoring 34 points. Granted, most of that came when his backup came in and threw 15 passes and was actually good. But I don't know. I feel okay about the process there. I guess we've learned more about Jameis now. If he's going to have these 50% completion games in there, maybe he's not as trustworthy as he appeared to be after three games. But I don't know. I'm not kicking myself for what happened, but I do definitely feel a little bit once bitten and twice shy here going forward on Winston.
Yeah, I think that – so I've been trying to think about this more just in terms of overall process. And one thing I feel like – personally, I've been better about this year is not overreacting to one game. And I was thinking about this. I was like, if the Bucks played the Bengals again this week, right? And let's say Jameis had finished with this line, 18 for 35, 276, and he like tweaked his ankle and didn't play the fourth. It wasn't that he still threw the four interceptions, but that wasn't the reason he left the game. Would I go up, like, how much would I change his projection? And my answer would be not really much, you know? Like, I think that I would be fine playing him again, even staring down this line. Maybe wouldn't be as confident in it, but I still think, like, the interceptions, two of them were clearly his fault, two were just kind of sort of unlucky passes. I think that, and that can definitely happen. I think everything ran bad. And the coaches pull him, and that's just not something you really see every day from a guy that you think is going to be maybe your franchise quarterback. I don't know. So moving on from him, the Jameis thing, I wouldn't over. And I don't think doesn't look like he's going to start again this week. So it looks like Fitzpatrick will get the start going forward now. We could talk in the cash game article, I think, about whether or not we feel comfortable playing him. I think that's going to be a close decision. But other performances this week that stood out to you? There were some. There was definitely some running back guys that we had talked about going into week 8 that ended up getting there. James Conner has a huge week. Gurley just does it again. Should have scored another touchdown and took the knee just to end the game. Yeah. So that could have even looked better. But where do you want to start here with some of these running back performances? Because there were some big ones. We had four guys with over 24 carries, a bunch of yards. Who stood out to you in terms of running back?
Yeah, I mean, the chalk running backs were pretty much good. That was Conner, Mixon, at Gurley, I guess, on DraftKings, and Kareem Hunt. Hunt didn't quite get there as much as some of the other guys. And
stopped twice at the one. Like, that one is... That was
a stopped very twice close. At the one, but he was also just bad on a yards-per-carry basis. Sure. I think he probably winds up losing some opportunity for that. Also, by the way, you know, when you're looking at yards-per-carry for a given week, getting stopped, like, three times on the one is enough to totally sandbag your yards-per-carry by itself. So, yep. Like, it's not totally indicative of how your week went, but... just continue to worth keeping an eye on. Like, that game script certainly favored him probably to get more than 16 carries, and it didn't work out that way. So, you know, it's going to be on my radar. The guys I'm more interested in talking about, to be honest with you, are some of these next tier running backs.
Yeah.
You know, like, we looked at Marlon Mack going into the day. He was like kind of a guy flirting with the system based on how many touches we were going to give him. Guy comes out here and touches the ball 27 times, has 149 yards and 2 touchdowns. It's another good week for Mac. He's still somewhat affordably priced going forward. What do we think here? Was the Indy running game bad because they didn't have a running back? Are they turning a corner here? Was it just matchup based? What's your take on Mac going forward?
Well, they ran the ball a ton. He ran the ball 25 times, and Nyheim Hines still also ran the ball 11 times. They combined for 36. They combined for 36 rushes and over 200 yards. It was clear though that Mac was the plan early on. I think that's always been what they wanted to do. It's just been injury stuff that's sort of submarined his early season performance. He just hasn't really played that much. Sort of saw it starting to happen the week before. It's still hard to trust when you have guys like Hines and Wilkins, who they had given the ball to so much. But I think when we look at a game like this, another injury, I think we can safely say that Mac is the guy they want to run the ball a lot, and it's just going to matter on game script. So I feel pretty like Wilkins got 3 snaps in a game where they were winning by 21 points. So I don't think the plan is to play him going forward at all. And I think, like I said, the Hines thing mostly happened because they're just winning late and they just were giving him, they were giving Mac spells on different series just because he had run the ball so much. I feel pretty, mostly all I care about with running backs is, are you the guy, right? Like, are you the guy on the team? Like, you know, are you the Mixon, the Connor, the Hunt, the Gurley, these guys? I'm not putting him in that class because there are a couple of these guys behind him. And I mean, 16 and a half, 17 carries. Do we think that's a reasonable baseline for him in a game that's going well? I mean, does that number strike you as correct? It does. It kind of does to me. And if that's the case, then he's definitely moving up at least into the next tier of safer running backs.
Yeah, I think that's a perfectly fine take. How about another guy? This guy's kind of gone up and down based on the week. A name that you'll recognize, Doug, Adrian Peterson.
I knew you were going to say him.
Someone brought him up in chat going into the day, saying they were a little concerned about Peterson. We literally were talking on the phone, laughing out loud, being like, you think you're concerned about Adrian Peterson in year 17 and 5,000 carries or whatever? No problem. 26 carries, 149 yards, a touchdown, catches a receiving touchdown as well. Do we care? I mean, is he going to be a guy, like, if the Redskins are favored by 5 points, are we looking at Adrian Peterson now? He's clearly the guy, right? Like, in a world where it's very, very difficult to get true RB1s, Peterson is one. Does it matter?
You know what? I want it to matter because I really don't like a world where I'm still thinking about this guy, to be perfectly honest with you. I haven't trusted him all season, much to the detriment at times, and this game is one of them. 26 carries, I mean, they're just going to run him to the ground. I was actually a little more concerned with Chris Thompson coming back this week, but that didn't end up really mattering. Peterson outsnapped him 41-26, outcarried him 26-3. Thompson did not see a ton of targets. I don't know if that's going to be the plan going forward. This game kind of did script out in a way that helped, that at least helped Peterson realize the absolute top end of his touches. The Giants, again, just have no offense. They can't keep the offense on the field, leading to a lot of Redskins, just leading to a lot of Redskins possessions.
I don't know. The Redskins 5-2 now. They're favorites.
They're favored against their favorite Atlanta. Home against Atlanta this week. I mean, it's only 1.5, so like, and they're not really favored.
But they should be. If the plan is to get Peterson the ball, the plan with Alex Smith under center is probably to get Peterson the ball again here, right?
Oh, it has to. You have to assume it is. And I still get so bearish on giving him a ton of targets. I think we even have him for like 18 carries a game or something like that. His carries per game are completely nuts. He doesn't see a lot of targets. That actually is the one thing that drives down some of the overall projection as opposed to just the other guys that we've talked about. Yeah, I have him for 18 carries and 2 targets. That's right around his season average. But the targets do keep his overall projection down, and the Redskins just kind of do struggle to put up points at times. Like, they still didn't score that. They're never going to score all that much, and that this week was another one. So he kind of, like, price independent, I probably would still just choose Marlon Mack. I just tend to trust that more. I think he uses a little bit more in the receiving game as well. And I've just been wrong on Peterson more times than I've been right this season, just in terms of how many times he's touched the ball. I'm actually curious what we do with some of these other teams, like with New Orleans. Like, New Orleans went right back to their last season of just not having to throw the ball at all again and just running Kamara and Ingram. Do you think that these guys are going to be able to sustain anything like their prices? Or, like, are we just back to sort of where we were in terms of last season, where there's now just too much opportunity, even though, you know, they're pretty good on a per touch basis. And I don't know, is it too much to spread around for the Saints?
Yeah, I mean, and it's just a price issue, right? Like, think about what other teams can sustain $15,400 worth of running backs. Nobody, right? I mean, you see Gurley, who, you know, is the best case scenario for a team's running game, is you get the production that the Rams get out of their running backs, right? And Gurley is 11-2. Kamara and Ingram combined are 15-4. Now, maybe it's not a perfect comp. You could call Kamara like a partial wide receiver or something like that. But yeah, it's just too much combined money. So in any given week, I'm extremely unlikely to ever want to look at these guys.
It does look like Dalvin Cook is going to remain out through week 10. Latavius Murray is still very much the guy. I know it's early, and we're going to start looking today at like what cash game plays are looking at like for this week. Minnesota's a 5-point favorite at home against Detroit. This game is a pretty high over-under at 51 already. Does Murray strike you as a guy, after what we've seen over the first couple weeks of him taking over the reins, does he kind of fit that mold of he's their only running back, he's basically who they want to give the ball to? And it, just as a quick look through some of these other games, there are not a ton of big point spread games, and there's almost no teams that are at home favorites here. He's one of the few ones.
Yeah,
would he strike you as an early look at possible cash game? He's still coming at like 5,100 on DraftKings. I think he's like in the mid 6,700 on FanDuel. I mean, is this... can we already like start maybe calling sort of like lock it up territory on Murray and cash games going forward, or at least for this week and maybe next week?
I think on the price basis, you can do it at DraftKings. I mean, while the performance has been there the last couple weeks, the touches have been down a decent amount. I mean, 17 touches against the Jets, in 18 against New Orleans. Those are fine numbers, definitely for 5,100 on DraftKings, especially if you think there are game scripts where he's going to get 6 targets like he did against New Orleans. A little bit concerned. You know, and it didn't work out this way, but I'm concerned about him in the same way I was about Freeman going in to last week, which is to say I was totally wrong and Freeman wound up being great. But
You mean Lindsay?
Freeman being out and Philip Lindsay, sorry. Where 17 to 18 touches is like a pretty risky amount of touches to wind up running a running back on FanDuel at that price point. But yeah, on DraftKings, I think at 5,100, you just probably lock him and load him and don't think too hard about it. Like you said, running backs in general, the actual fantasy viable ones, are almost in tricky spots across the board. So yeah, I think I'm in for some more Murray this week.
I'm mostly looking at like his snap count from last week. He was on the field 61 snaps. CJ Ham for 10 and Mike Boone for 7. Like, this is those are just getting him, you know, a breather a couple times during the game. For the most part, he's the overwhelming running back in terms of being on the field for their offensive sets. I think that's mostly what I'm going to fall back on here. And the fact that, New Orleans, like I said, was able to control the game. Breeze only threw the ball 23 times. They ran the ball close to 30 times on the day. The time of possession just favored the Saints. It didn't favor the Saints as much as I thought, 28 to 31. So never mind. I take that back. It just seemed like it would. I still think we're probably buying too low we're buying low and the price didn't come up because the performance wasn't totally there, maybe based on some context. Any other running backs that stood out to you this week, either on the upper end of the performance base or guys that maybe just underperformed what you thought was going to happen?
Well, I guess I want to talk about Philip Lindsay because this is a guy that I just wound up being wrong on. I mean, he wound up being a 40% cash game play, paid almost 3x on his price. He touched the ball, I think, 21 times and was just good, even in a game where they were down by a touchdown for essentially the whole game. Is Lindsay just a viable play going forward on these kind of middling prices? He's got Houston this week. The price hasn't moved at all on FanDuel. You know, the thing I was concerned about, which was Booker coming in here, did play out on some level. I mean, Booker touched the ball, I think, 13 times himself. But, you know, Lindsay just got there, just flat out. And if Denver is going to rely this much on the run, even in games where they're behind, are people just going to plug him right back in as a cash game play next week?
And I'll tell you, it was still a timeshare, 41 to 32 snaps.
I know. That's the part that I can't figure out, because I feel like process-wise, that is exactly why I was against it, because I was pretty sure it was going to be a timeshare, just with what we've seen in the NFL. But timeshare didn't matter in this case. You know, he still touched the ball more than 20 times, and it doesn't really matter. You don't get any points for snaps, right? You only get points for actually touching the ball, and it certainly didn't matter for Lindsay this week.
Well, they were. I mean, it's crazy too, because they were losing for a game where they were losing 20. No, they were losing 30 to 14 going into the fourth quarter. Yep. They ran the ball 27 times. I know. Like that's. I just don't know. It's very difficult to know what to make of a game script like that where you're actively losing. You need to catch up, mm-hmm. and you're still not. It worked. These guys. Well, one of the reasons they were able to keep running is because the yards per carry for both these guys were just completely through the roof, and I just. Well, look, if Freeman comes back, then forget it, right? Okay, so I think that we'll start there. If Freeman was ruled out pretty late, if Freeman were to come back this week, then I'm not even bothering. But even if he weren't to come back, the 41 to 32 snaps, I just don't know. I don't know. Lindsay looks good, and there's no doubt about that he has talent, and he's one of the steals because I think he was an undrafted free agent coming out of college from last year, and that is clearly working out for them, and it's also very clear that he's just not the only back, no matter what the situation is. So I think, congrats if you got there. He was still very close for us. I think he was like in our fourth overall FanDuel lineup because of the price and the opportunity just being boosted a little bit. And I was with you that it just felt not great to play. And if you looked at his opportunity, if you looked at all the stuff, the other contextual stuff, it would have seemed like he would have been bad. And he ended up being pretty good. And I'd be very, very concerned going forward. Let's talk about some of these wide receiver games. So we have guys like Cobb comes back and maybe cuts into Devontae Adams' opportunity. The Raiders situation, I don't know if you want to start there. That was a complete and utter mess. We do see some drop-offs in overall targets for some of the guys that we've been sort of relying on a week-to-week basis. Where do you want to start with wide receiver?
Yeah, wide receiver was a very interesting position for me this week. The most notable thing from my perspective is this is the first week where we see relatively random guys at the top of the wide receiver performance list. Wide receiver had been one of the more consistent positions on the season with guys like Thielen, you know, just going out there and doing it every single week, Antonio Brown, etc. And this week, you know, we see some unusual names at the top. I mean, we see Mike Evans. He drops 24 fantasy points. We see Marvin Jones just beneath him. Sammy Watkins, DeAndre Hopkins, even in I think it was a bad matchup. I can't remember off the top of my head, but there was some reason why we didn't want to play him. Will Fuller also gets up there based on touchdowns. Larry Fitzgerald, and then, you know, some familiar names like Brown and Tyler Boyd. Is wide receiver, you know, heading back in a more... Oh, jeez, I didn't even see Adam Thielen's game because it wasn't on the main slate, but he actually does get there for 100 and a touch. Nice job by him. What's going on with wide receiver right now? Are we concerned at all that this is going to turn things back around to being a little bit more random? Because I'll tell you, some of these guys, like, I don't know that I'm just going to like turn right back around and start playing Larry Fitzgerald now because he had one good game. So am I just going to kind of have to catch my breath here and just figure out that, okay, Mike Evans, you know, big week, but after the totally erratic quarterback play and a 72-yard touchdown, can't really trust it. What? How should I be feeling about wide receiver, I guess, is my question. You know, okay, I don't hope to cop out here, but...
Yeah, no, so to rewind, one is the Hopkins, that was a Thursday night game, and going forward, they did lose Will Fuller for the season, so we're going to be... One guy that we're going to probably have to end up talking about off-air is what we want to do with a guy like Hopkins, because their receiving core is now down, because I think Kikuta, he didn't play either. I got to see if he's coming back, but they're definitely without Fuller, and so... I don't know if he's going to end up being where we got into the old school, just jam Hopkins the ball over and over and over again. They have run the ball a lot more this season too. So Hopkins is going to be an interesting one, I think, going forward. I will say that I audited NFL projections last night on opportunity, and one sort of theme was most wide receivers saw like a downgrade, like the very top guy saw a slight downgrade in their overall target projections, and I really wasn't comfortable bringing any of the other guys up, which I think kind of speaks to what you were saying a second ago, like, right, like some of these, like Larry Fitzgerald was one specifically like this. I was like, well, okay, we really can't go too far above his median projection based on 112 target game, like Willie Snead, guys like this that saw big time targets. I'm not willing to overcorrect, because I think we have a decent enough sample size over the course of the season with not too much else changing. So I think that was sort of that's sort of where I took the NFL audit, or at least the initial one, was that no one really went crazy. I mean, like Tyler Boyd, I ticked up a little bit more, but overall, like, you know, you're going to tick up the Tampa Bay wide receivers, like Humphreys and Evans? I don't know. Not really.
I just don't know.
And then other guys maybe are just basically in the same range. The Golden Tates, the Beckhams. I'm looking on this list. The Edelmans. We're all pretty close in the opportunity. I guess I'm a little concerned that guys like Brown, guys like Thielen didn't see all that many targets at all. Like Thielen just drops all the way down to 7. Now he did converted 7-7, but that was easily his worst game of the season in terms of overall target share.
Sure. I guess I'm not overall worried about those guys. I think, you know, we can just take the average on the season. I don't think anything has fundamentally changed. I think what we've seen in Minnesota actually is that they are willing, like when Diggs just has the better matchup, they're willing to give him the ball more often. So, you know, just keep that in mind. You know, you're really good about staying on top of our cornerback rankings and trying to figure out, you know, who has the better cornerback matchup in each given week, and just know that going forward, I'm not sure if the price will allow it on Diggs, but with Thielen anyway, you probably just want to play him when he has the better matchup, or when the matchup is just so overwhelmingly good overall that you just want to run him out there. But some of these
on the Vikings, one, it's so interesting too. If you look at Thielen and Diggs' game, they were combined 17 for 18 for like 220 yards and two touchdowns. And they lost by 10 because they only scored 20 points. That's crazy. I think it's crazy to see those two guys' lines and think, oh man, if they were this efficient and this good in one game, and this team won by 20, right? Because they ended up just running.
Seems
the ball
like
the
you probably could have got them like 10 more targets, even if they weren't perfect.
That's what I mean. It's so crazy. Anyway, sorry. What else are you going to say about wide receiver?
No worries. So just looking at some of these other guys, you know, back to the process-based discussion that we had earlier about Winston, I think you want to look at these guys and like just figure out what the story tells you about, you know, why you should or should not consider some of these plays going forward. So, you know, just on a basic level, I know, you know, most of our listeners at this point are going to be relatively sophisticated. So, you know, apologies if this is dumbing things down too much or whatever, but like, you know, someone like Marvin Jones, has the situation really fundamentally changed for Marvin Jones, given that he had a 10 target week and happened to punch in two touchdowns? No, not in my mind. I mean, I think we knew that this was the upper end of his target range. We know that he's a red zone target for them. And we know that this type of game is in play. And when you hear Doug and I talk about someone as being a big tournament play, this is what we're talking about, that they have this kind of game in them. You'll hear many people say like anyone can be a big tournament play, but that's not really true. Like you actually want guys, and Evans actually, he's a guy that we pointed to in this way as well. When it all goes right and they do catch the 70-yard touchdown in Evans' case, or, you know, just happen to catch two touchdowns in the red zone in Jones' case, or I guess one of those I think was a longer one, but that's them, that looks like them getting there. Now, on the other hand, a guy like Sammy Watkins wouldn't have, I think, crossed our radar even as a GPP play in the past. And the fact that he does have this kind of game in him now, going from, you know, 7-target week against Cincinnati to a 9-target week against Denver and punching in 2 touchdowns, then I'm taking notice of that. And he'll kind of slide up my radar a little bit, maybe get there in some of my big tournament lineups. But I think people tend to be, unless there's increased opportunity in a given week, like a guy gets hurt, like you mentioned, Wolf Fuller going down, maybe we, you know, keep an eye on how those targets get re-disseminated, right? Unless there's a dramatic change in something, maybe it's snap count, maybe it's new quarterback, new offensive coordinator. You don't want to just go crazy and be like, yeah, Kendrick Bourne is my new guy. He's just going to get 10 right. targets in every game for all time. Like, I think you want to be looking for if you're going to move your projections, you need more information than just this guy had one good week.
Yep, I'm totally with you. And like I said, that was kind of the theme when I was rolling through each one of these teams, because I felt like there were more outlier weeks in terms of overall opportunity than there were things that we actually learned. We learned anything too great about. Like, I just don't see. Some guys ended up putting together good games because they saw maybe a 30% bump in their overall usage. And I just, for most of them, I don't really suspect it's sustainable. Tight end was another week. I mean, Jordan Reed, this guy. 12 targets, 38 total yards. This is what it must be like living with Alex Smith. I just don't know what you do. The target share is crazy, and he just can't. He still caught 7 balls for 5 yards of catches. It's just unbelievably bad. Forget about the yards per target. We did see a little bump up for Evan Ingram. George Kittle kind of remains one of the safer sort of tight ends. And then the rest of the list is just, David Njoku was the guy we talked about. Played every snap, so I don't know. He didn't see a single target. Maybe he saw one target, did not catch it, and he got pass interfered within the end zone as well. So
I blame you. I feel like I should have gone better, but you must have done something. Yeah, tight end. I mean, you had two guys, I think, score double-digit fantasy points this week. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I forgot about the random smattering of guys who had 4 targets and wound up scoring a touchdown and stuff. But and by the way, just... complaints of the week, another one. When you have a guy and you pin down the exact right opportunity for him, and then he just manages to get there on his price anyway, just couldn't drive me crazier. OJ Howard, I'm looking at you this week as the classic example here. People are like, OJ Howard? And it's like, well, he's only going to get 4 targets in this game. I think that's the exact number I typed in the chat. People are like, yeah, but whatever, he's good. Naturally gets 4 targets, but turns it into 68 in a touch. Like, give me a break, dude. Like, cut me a little bit of slack. I know you're playing for your career and stuff, but you don't need to do that. You don't need to go.
Yeah, so, yeah, that seemed, not to make it the all complaint cast, but, like, it did feel like this was a week where I haven't felt like this week for the first 8 weeks where it just felt like all these little things kind of just, hey, sometimes you can just kind of come up tails, on 10 coin flips every once in a while. I don't know. All right, we're going to be back again on Thursday talking cash game plays, which I think is going to be a pretty interesting week for that. And then obviously the game-by-game breakdown podcast on Friday, we'll roll through the entire main slate. Also, go check out our NBA podcast, which we're putting up 3 or 4 times a week, talking about the NBA slates, which is another one that things go well again last night for NBA. So still very encouraged about how our projection system is working for basketball. So go check out that podcast as well. All right, buddy, I will talk to you again Thursday when we talk some cash games. Talk to you then.